The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Speaking with me in the studio, we have a super cool guest. We have Dominic Sperano.
That's correct.
From Pronto Comics.
That's also correct.
And we also had our very own Hassan Gavin on the phone, still with the Pandora virus.
Yes, apparently so.
You're sounding a little better.
Yeah, I feel a little better.
Well,
that's all good. I'm still floating, though, unfortunately.
You're floating with the mountains now?
Yes.
Okay.
Do everyone know what the Pandora virus is?
No.
Okay. I appreciate the honesty.
It's like the T-cell virus, but way worse.
Yeah, oh, way worse. Yeah.
And our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, who was at the Beatles Fest last week, threw out his back shoveling all this wonderful snow we've been having, so he's unable to come in today.
Snow blower, that's all I have to say.
Oh.
I remember there was a... When I was young, when the snowblowers first came out, this little old man across the street, he had this really tiny snowblower. Looked like a Swiffer.
Right.
And he was just, feet, feet, and he wasn't doing anything.
We still have one of those.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
We have a real snowblower, but we still have one that's kind of like that, where you plug it in and it just will shoot the snow right in front of you.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure you're shooting it far enough in advance that it's where you don't want it to be. But several years ago, my father, on one of the big snowstorms, my dad looks at me and we're shoveling snow, and I say to him, you know, maybe we should get a snowblower. He's like, why? I have you. And then the next snowstorm comes around and he goes, yeah, we're going to get a snowblower. I said, why? You have me. He's like, yeah, no, we're going to snowblower.
You've been replaced by a machine.
No, because now I'm the one who uses the snowblower. I use the snowblower and he cleans the cars.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Yeah, I'm a master snowblower now.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on a live audio stream. Also on the GBB website, you can see us on the high-definition webcam right now as we're waving hi, unless you're listening to us in the future, which will be your present, and then you're watching someone else.
Why do we have to go through this every week?
Because it's time travel.
Because it's wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey.
That's not even coherent. That's the problem.
It's not coherent that if you're listening to us in the future, which is your present, you can only see what's going on in the present.
Right, do it again. Say it twice, because that'll make it clear.
So we're going to tell you the news.
News, dude. Take it away with the news.
As we've been doing for this past year, the news is brought to us by the Rat Bastard at Belmore Towing in Belmore, New York. Just in time for the Valentine's Day weekend, if you haven't been screwed over so far, the folks at Belmore Towing will be happy to screw you over.
Yeah, I'm going to call them as soon as this show is over.
Yes, call them at 516-781-0200 and say it came from the radio, thanks you for trying to screw us over, and all the people out there.
Will do.
Alright. So now we're going to move on with the sad news, which we have two sad news, actually. Let's go with this one. Comedy legend Sid Caesar, best known for his work on a TV series, A Show of Shows, and Caesar's Hours, died this week. Sid had roles in movies such as It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, History of the World Part 1, and he also played Coach Calhoun in Grease and in Grease Number 2. Did anybody ever see Grease Number 2?
I'm sad to say I've seen Grease 2.
Do you remember Coach Calhoun in Grease 2?
I remember Coach Calhoun.
Oh, all right.
I barely remember Grease 2.
Well, that's good.
I remember
exactly.
Grease 2.
Yeah.
Hassan, you remember Grease 2?
I remember Grease 2.
Do The only thing I remember about Grease 2 is when they did the motorcycle jump to the train. Wasn't that
about it? They did a crazy motorcycle jump. It was a bizarre concept. It was that, what's her name? Her cousin from Australia came.
Right.
Because everyone really cared about the Sandy character that much, that we want to know about her family and extended family.
Wasn't the lead girl Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yes, she was.
A very, very, very young Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
Yeah.
She went and Travolta.
Travolta. No, but they had...
Kaneki.
Yeah, no. The only one from the original class was from the original... movie was the one who went off to be a beauty school dropout. I don't even remember the name of the actress, but she shows up. Yeah, she shows up as, you know. I just have a mind where I keep all these useless factoids.
And Sid Caesar was also in Grease 2, so that's two people now.
That's true, too. Yeah. Okay, now I
have. Wait, was that Stalker Channing? Is that who you're talking about?
No. It's the one where Frankie Avalon sings her that whole beauty school dropout, and it was whoever that actress was. Yeah.
I remember the Cool Rider song, and that's basically, that's as much as my memory will bear on Grease 2.
Yeah.
So
after,
all right, well, fair enough. That's too bad about Sid Caesar.
Yeah, as a side note, he was made an honorary Saturday Night Live cast member, who was the only person to ever receive that honor when he hosted a show in 1983. The cause of death is unknown, and he was 91.
He was 91, but the cause of death is unknown.
Yes.
I think the cause of death is just, he's 91.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
happy birthday. No, that's terrible. That's not a good cause of death, is being 91.
Oh, no, listen, I mean...
91 is, you know, come on. You're pushing it at 91.
You had a really good run at 91. I'd be happy to live to... That means I live 60 more years. I'd be happy with that. Until I was 90, and then I had a year left.
Yeah, then you'd be upset. Yeah. You wouldn't be so happy about it. Yeah. And you wouldn't get a letter.
That's a letter. Right. You don't get the letter because you have to live to 100.
Right.
Speaking of more sad news, world-famous child star Shirley Temple Black died this week. Shirley Temple was America's top box office draw from 1935 to 1938, a record no other child star has ever come near, and she also beat out grown-ups at the time, such as Clark Gable, Bing Crosby, Robert Taylor, Gary Cooper, and Joan Crawford for that title of highest box office draw for those years. She was in movies such as, oh boy, Bright Eyes, which she sang there from now from the song Good Ship Lollipop, Curry Top, Stand Up and Cheer, Heidi, Little Miss Marker, Baby Take a Bow, The Loyalist Rebel, just to name a few. She won an Academy Award in early of 1935 for her quote, outstanding contribution to her screen entertainment. And for those of you who are too young to remember, the Shirley Temple drink is named after her. So she was so famous, she had a drink.
Possible.
Named
not
after her.
Possible. I don't buy it.
She really did.
I just don't buy it. I think the drink came first, and then they named the kid after the drink.
Oh, maybe that's...
I think the drink is the reason we have Shirley
that's
Temple.
See, I was going to go for that, and I decided not to. Thank you for taking us down that route, Hassan.
No problem. Of course it's named after her. That's one of the most redundant revelations I've ever heard in my
life. Some people who don't know who Shirley Temple is...
Those people are stupid.
Thank you for beating me to that point. There's a complete lack of knowing what happened before people were alive in this country.
Exactly. Before they painted the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's
not like those black and white movies when back when no one had any color.
She retired from films at the age of 21.
Oh, that would have been nice.
And she raised a family and later became active in politics and held several diplomatic posts in the Republican administration, including an ambassador to Czechoslovakia during the historic collapse of communism in 1989. So realistically, Shirley Temple could be the reason of communism collapsing.
No, everyone knows it was because Rocky beat the Russian.
Oh,
I think Rocky did more than Reagan to end communism, personally.
Drago.
Yeah, that's right.
He did not break him.
Right. Because he didn't back down. Because there was no easy way out.
Right.
There's no shortcut.
Apollo, no good. Yeah. Rocky, good. Apollo, no good.
Right.
It was too much. He had a band. You can't have a band. You can't shuck and jive just before you get into a ring with a super-powered Russian.
It was all James Brown's fault.
Yeah, we'll blame James Brown. And that top hat.
It was a top hat, you know.
Uncle Sam top hat. That'll get you killed every time.
Every time. You know, yeah.
Shirley Temple's cause of death was also not released, and she was only 85.
Well, spring chicken in comparison to Sid Caesar.
Yeah. Her cause of death was not released. Yeah, you know what? She died jogging. What kind of... At that point, do you really need to release a cause of death at that age?
Well, yeah.
No, that's not age discrimination. I mean, when you get to be that age, it's a modicum of privacy at that point. You know, no one's going to investigate why you died at that age.
Right there, you're now giving free rein to people who want to kill people who are over 70 years old.
Murder and someone dying in their sleep. There's a big difference.
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious if someone was murdered, you know, unless someone's really going to try and sneak into Shirley Temple Black's house and, you know, inject her with, like,
it's the Russians trying to make
it. Could be the Russians. They're upset at the whole communism.
Putin trying to make a comeback. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Putin blames her for the warm weather in Sochi right now. And it was all a plot.
Exactly.
Yeah, he can come to New York and have our cold weather if he's upset.
Yeah.
He can have the whole thing.
I'm happy to ship the snow that's in my front yard over to Sochi to help them out.
So from the desk of Hassan Godwin, Putin come to New York and have our snow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, don't make that a direct quote. Alright, never mind. Move on.
Better quote right. You than me on that one.
Alright, moving along. Let's see. This is a good one. During the premiere of Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac Part 1, last week, my arch nemesis, Shia LaBeouf, decided to wear a paper bag on his head to accompany his tux as he walked down the red carpet of the premiere. In true Shia LaBeouf fashion, he had a message on the bag that read, "I am not famous anymore."
I actually heard that story several times and while driving to the station, and I wish it were true.
He's not famous anymore. They had the picture.
Yeah. If he wasn't famous, no one would have bothered to read the bag.
That's a good point.
And he wouldn't have been there in the first place. Nice try, Shia. If you don't want to be famous, stay out of the spotlight. Trust me, they'll forget about you very quickly. Yeah, stay out of it for maybe a year, maybe 2 years. No movies, no public announcements. No strange sightings at bars, you know, and gimp outfits and stuff like that. Just stay
away. Whoa, who's been sighted at a bar in a gimp outfit?
Yeah.
He had it was a fight that he had earlier this week also, yeah.
that's what you want to
I'll
be.
Just be quiet for a moment and punt.
I don't want to think about that too deeply, so that's all yours. You can think about that. But, I mean, if you're going to show up at a place and put a bag over your head, you're actually attracting attention.
Of course.
There's no such thing as reverse psychology for these morons in Hollywood, but for the rest of us, it's real.
Please don't hold back. Tell me how you really feel about them. Is Shia LaBeouf your personal archenemy?
Yes, he is my personal archenemy.
Mark. I don't have a problem with him. Mark is plenty pissed at him.
Now, I'm relatively new to the show, but how did he become your archenemy? And is he aware that he's your archenemy?
That's part of him being my archenemy. He doesn't even know.
That makes
so much more tension between us. But he ruined two movie franchises for me. Not just one, two movie franchises.
Okay, so Indiana Jones obviously is one.
And Transformers.
Well, to be fair, could he ruin it when he was already started it, though?
He ruined it.
I'd say he ruined the entire genre of Transformers. Yeah.
I'd say it was ruined by Michael Bay. That's A. B.
That's
the problem
is... archenemy is Michael Bay.
Shia LaBeouf is a viable archenemy, and that all kind of is in perspective until you ask Mark who some of his other archenemies are. Like Winter.
I think Winter is pretty much everyone's archenemy at this moment.
People understand.
Yeah.
They'll only understand with you until it gets warm, Mark, and then they'll forget. Only you will remember year after year.
So when they're saying, it's so hot, like, think about that winter, that's my arch enemy.
There are only two people that are always thinking about winter then, Mark and Sean Bean.
Sean Bean's dead, So, I mean, well, Ned's dead, so
yeah.
He's no longer thinking about Wonder anymore.
Starks, then.
So, Shia LaBeouf was there promoting the film, Nymphomaniac, Part 1, which stars himself, Uma Thurman, and, of all people, Christian Slater. He's said to be released on
He's right, then. He's not famous anymore. He's in a movie with Christian Slater.
Poor Christian Slater. He needs any break he can get.
He had a TV show recently. Poor Christian Slater.
What is it with people not liking Christian Slater? Poor guy.
Yeah, he wasn't even in, what was that movie? Never mind. I'll remember it next week.
That's what people think of Christian Slater's career. What was it? Oh, I forget.
Was that with Tara Reid with the
Sharknado? Was he in Sharknado?
No, it was with the aliens. It was in darkness, and it was based on a video game. And it was a while ago, but it was a big.
Well, I guess it wasn't. Well, first of all, aliens, Tara Reid, and Christian Slater don't exactly make a powerful film.
Yeah, that's not making it to my DVD show.
He probably hoped he was in Sharknado. He'll be in Sharknado 2, I'm sure.
Speaking of people who are no longer in movies, Will Smith, the man who can do no wrong, recently announced.
Not now.
He still is fine after that. That was like one of the biggest box office problems.
I'll explain what I mean once you finish your news story.
Okay, so Will Smith announced that he will not be returning for Independence Day Part 2, which is dropped in theaters in July 4th weekend of 2016. Also, it has been announced that Will Smith, along with Tommy Lee Jones and director Barry Sonnenfeld, are out of Men in Black Part 4, which is now going to be a reboot of the franchise due to the fact that they are, quote-unquote, too expensive for the studio.
Well, going back to the first thing, when did Independence Day 1 come out?
Almost 20 years ago.
Do we really need a sequel?
1996, I think.
Like, do we really need a sequel at this point? I think everything that could be said in the first Independence Day was said. Yeah.
Do we need a sequel? That actually will segue to the next bit of news, but Hassan, you wanted to say something about Will Smith before I segue?
I just read a couple of articles on Will Smith not being in, these same articles that I made fun of last week about, like, is broccoli bad for you? click here, and then it's, the guy going, I hate broccoli, and I'll never eat it again. I don't know if it's bad for you, but it tastes pretty bad, so... No pertinent news information whatsoever.
Right.
But they said, guess who's not going to be in Independence Day 2? And then you click on it, and it's Will Smith. Will Smith has decided he's not going to be in Independence Day 2 because of this, that, whatever. So then, of course, you have to scroll down if you're a masochist, and you have to scroll down so you can read the comments of our fellow man. And let me tell you, most of the comments are... they're pretty severe against Mr. Smith. Like, the heck with him. We don't need him. We don't need him and his son. We don't need him and his son and his entire family. After Earth was horrendous, he deserves to, burn in Hollywood oblivion and whatever. They're really bad. Really bad.
Personally, I'm okay with it so long as Jeff Goldblum's in Independence 2. Because he was the real heart and soul.
None of them should be in it. To be honest with you, first of all, it shouldn't really be happening because it has been such a long time, and there's been like 50 movies since then that have been just like it.
Right.
And it's like you take a hint from like The Matrix. When The Matrix came out, Matrix is a big breakthrough movie, and then every movie in Hollywood copied The Matrix after that. Be it another action movie or a comedy. There's even a Rob Schneider movie with a Matrix sequence in it. Alright? So, when Matrix 2 came out, everyone was like, slow motion. Gotcha. Yeah.
I think there was a little more fervor when Matrix 2 came out, more like, this is terrible.
Well, yeah, but then the thing I remember specifically was, besides it being bad, sitting in that theater and maybe about 20 minutes in, already being bored with the special effects and the slow motion and the wire work.
Oh, yeah.
And that's before you really got a full dose of the plot and realize it was going nowhere.
Well, yeah, the plot was very, very weak.
The first fight Neo has with the agents in the very beginning was boring. And that's just not, for me personally, that's because Charlie's Angels and about 50 other movies came out doing the same thing. I mean, immediately. Well, so, you know, Independence Day, it's like doing a sequel to Blade Runner. It's like, okay, I hope you got more than flying cars and Future City.
Right, I mean, so like doing a sequel to Tron.
Yeah, and you see what happened with that.
So,
sadly, I did.
Speaking of movies that are coming out a long time ago that I'm making sequels to.
Oh, wow. How did you even do that?
It was amazing that he made that even happen? WWE Films has decided to make a sequel, not a reboot, of the Arnold Schwarzenegger Sinbad classic Jingle All the Way, which is only 18 years after the movie came out. Of course, this time the film will star none other than Larry the Cable Guy.
Wait, it's a reboot?
It's a sequel, not a reboot. It is
a sequel. They're doing a sequel to it.
A sequel to Jingle All the Way, starring Larry the Cable Guy.
Well, I think the audience has been clamoring for that for years, so good for them.
Jingle Even Further?
Jingle Even Further.
I'm amazed that WWE Films is making films without actual wrestlers in it, though.
Have you read my news beforehand? Because this is pretty amazing. For those fans who have been waiting at the tidbit for wrestling news, WWE also announced that Marine Part 4 will be out in theaters as well.
Oh, thank God.
WWE exec says...
I thought WWE. The franchise was faltering in Marine 3, but I think Marine 4 might save it.
So the execs say WWE Studios is looking forward to continuing its long-standing relationship with 20th Century Fox with both Marine 4 and Jingle All the Way 2. The Miz and Summer Rae will deliver action and adventure that our audience has come to expect from the Marine franchise, and we're equally excited to bring the comedy of Larry the Cable Guy and WWE superstar Santino Marella to our fan base with Jingle All the Way 2.
Well, thank God for that.
Well, over at Fox...
That's some deep, interesting news right there.
Well, over at Fox, those executives say, WWE Studios remains a valuable partner, and we're pleased to continue bringing these films to the legions of fans across the globe. We're excited to be launching the fourth installment of the tremendously successful franchise, The Marine, and to have Larry the Cable Guy on board for Jingle All the Way 2, a perfect star for the first family comedy with WWE Studios.
I predict that these will go directly to DVD, and I'll be buying them by Christmas time at my local King Cullen.
You're going to buy them?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I corrected. I could buy them.
They'll be available for purchase.
They'll be available for, well, I don't know, $1.99. Well, how could you go wrong? I mean,
yeah, you could go wrong. You could spend that $1.99 on just about anything else.
You could buy a candy bar.
I could buy a candy bar for that. You know,
if you have more enjoyment,
it'll be definitely more filling and satisfying than Jingle All the Way to
the
Marine
Four. Jingle All the Way and be nourished.
See, like, if they're going to do the Marine 4, they should really take a page from, you know, Fast and Furious franchise and try and bring back all the original cast.
Well, they're all working for WWE, so I don't see why.
Exactly. So, yeah. Or just bring in the actual Fast and Furious franchise. Yeah.
Speaking of...
Minus one.
Too soon.
Minus one. I said unfortunately. I don't mind. I didn't mean that as a humorous anecdote.
Oh. All right, then.
Unfortunately, minus one. That's pretty much why the whole thing's on hold as it is, because we'd be up to part 8 right now.
Well,
so
we have
cranking those Fast and Furious movies out.
We have the Need for Speed coming out for those people that want to have something
exactly
to tide them over until they figure out what to do.
I love the Hollywood method. Oh, this was good. Let's make 20 more just like it.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying about the Matrix. It's like, this worked. That got butts in the seats.
Yeah, it did.
Let's make 18 more just like it.
It did.
Yep.
Speaking of putting butts in seats.
How?
Mine is on right now.
John Wesley Shipp, who played the original Flash in the 1990s TV series of the same name, has joined the ever-growing cast for the new Flash TV show, which is a spinoff of CW's Arrow. No word on who he'll play, but I'm pretty sure he won't be playing the Flash.
Probably not. Why did they have these spin-off shows while Smallville was on? Think of how they could have dominated.
I had wished for years that they'd just sucked it up somehow and put on like a young Batman series, but I know they can never
they're
get that
done. They're working on it.
They've been grinding on it for like 20 years.
Though. No, but I mean the new Gotham.
No, but it's
show.
Not about Batman.
Yeah, but it's not about Batman.
He's going to be in it.
Is he going to be as a kid? How good can that be?
Yeah, he's going to be as a kid.
So it only takes the same as Birds of Prey.
Oh, Birds of Prey. Oh, my God. Did you like Birds of Prey?
I did like Birds of Prey.
You know, it was good. It was just needed more Batman like mythos,
everything.
As it were.
It just needed everything.
I didn't take it as a Batman show. I just like, some chicks beating up other people. All right.
Well, good point. My guess, though, is that actor probably might play the Flash, just an older Flash, like Barry Allen, like he was in the original show.
That'd
the Flash.
Kind of cool.
That'd be or maybe he's old enough he could play who was the first Flash? Jay Garrick or something?
Yeah,
right?
Jay Garrick, yeah.
So maybe he'll play that, you know.
That'd be actually quite interesting.
That'd be cool, like to make it the lineage of the Flash and then introduce Wally West as, you know, the fastest Flash.
Wow.
The one who's truly in line.
Look at someone who's actually been thinking about this for a while.
Not really, just about a whole 2 minutes in right now.
useless
knowledge in the back of my head.
Let's see, and finally, the Lego Movie is officially a hit, pulling in its opening week, $69 million, which makes it the second largest February debut in history, behind Passions of the Christ, which was at $83 million way back in 2004, 10 years ago.
That's one hell of a spectrum.
It took 10 years to beat, or the spectrum
between,
between
Passion of Christ and the Lego Movie. It's like, that's really, that's not family entertainment on both ends there.
No, that's very true. On the flip side, not only did Vampire Academy, which also came out last week, basically bomb, but it was apparently so terrible that the studios refused to screen it for critics, which is not too uncommon, but
that's a sign right there.
They also forced theaters who had planned midnight screens to cancel any midnight screens for that show on the Thursday night before it came out.
So like the, you know, the Twitterverse and Facebook, people were saying how badly that movie was.
Oh, right, okay. So that way it prevented them from not coming on
really,
Friday.
You really think you need to just cancel the midnight showings? Like, I just watched one or two commercials and thought to myself, no. No.
It's weird about that is that based on the commercials, the movie is nothing what it's supposed to be like. Because I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said that the movie is supposed to be a very serious vampire book. And the commercials look like it's kind of a lighthearted comedy.
Yeah, like Twilight, but even sappier or something, you know?
Yeah, and so...
What is this? Wait, what?
The Vampire Academy.
Oh.
Oh. Instant conversation killer. Oh, anyone see that Vampire Academy?
Think about the idea of a Vampire Academy in and of itself. I know it has to be a cute idea, because it's not a viable... like fantasy idea.
Somebody thought it was
like idea.
Again, someone thought like, oh, the kids like the vampires. Let's put out some more vampire stuff.
Yeah, it's like Ninja Academy. You know, it's like
ninjas.
I remember Ninja Academy.
Yeah, Ninja High School.
Ninja this, Ninja that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You know, it seems extremely in the vein of Twilight, and I was like, well, it's not. It's Twilight without being Twilight, therefore it won't do well. And it's, you know,
but Twilight wasn't that good.
Well, I didn't say Twilight was good. I said Twilight did well.
No, I'm saying that Twilight without Twilight might be a good idea because it's...
Well, no, because then it's like Twilight light.
Yeah,
so
what the point he's making is Twilight wasn't good, but it was a hit.
Right.
A rip-off of Twilight won't be good and won't be a hit.
Thank you.
So it'll be a complete waste of time.
Exactly. So, I mean, it'll be just as good as I, Frankenstein, so...
Yeah.
Alrighty. And I like Aaron Eckhart as an actor.
Did you go?
I didn't even see it. Never even
I didn't see it because I know, like,
I don't like him that much as an actor to go support his movies.
Well, when he's in a good movie, I'll go watch it. When it's something like this, I'm like, oh, Underworld.
Okay, but
for Frankenstein.
In all fairness, how did you know it was something like that without having seen that it was something like that?
There you go.
I saw one clip of it. I'm like, it's Underworld, but with Frankenstein.
One clip.
That's
all he needed.
That's all
to make up his mind.
Yep.
So we're ready for our break. We'll be right back with a game from the radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to the Cave for Real. This is your host, Mark Torres, along with Dominic Sperano and Hassan Gavin on the phone. Hassan, are you alive?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I was worried about that Pandora virus getting you. That doesn't mean I can't listen to Pandora anymore, right?
No comment.
Okay.
I would tread lightly. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
It comes from all kinds of places.
All right.
So, for this week, for those of you who haven't been paying attention, we're going to be talking about and with Pronto Comics Editor-in-Chief?
Correct.
Dominic Sperano. So, Dominic, why don't you tell us a little bit about Pronto Comics?
Sure. Pronto Comics began originally as a collective of about 13 initial members, and we got together to print an original anthology called For a Price, and it was all about bounty hunters. And then we printed the anthology, and as you can tell, it set the world on fire. No, well, not really, but it was, in comic books, there's a lot of people that, you know, are saying they're going to make comic books, and they never really make a comic book. So just the fact that we made something in of itself was like a major accomplishment. And several editors that we knew at like DC and Marvel, you know, they said, you know, that alone is a great accomplishment. Now make another one. So we made another anthology, and then eventually it was getting clear that this needed to become a little more structured and become more of a business. So now we're a nonprofit publishing company that specializes in breaking talent into the industry.
Non-profit. Isn't that like 50% of the comic books companies out there are non-profit?
See, yeah, we're just open about it. You know, we're like, you know how you make $1 million in publishing? Start with $2 million. So we kind of know, like, you know, publishing is, I won't say publishing is dying, but it's very hard to make money in publishing because it costs so much. So we keep a lot of things very cost prohibitive. Like we print on demand. We don't have high print runs. We talk a lot on social media that's free. We have a lot of meetings once a month. On the first Thursday of the month, we have a meeting where anyone can come in if you've been with us for like 5 years, as long as we've been around, or you just heard about us on this wonderful program and you want to come the first Thursday of every month in Manhattan on 29th Street, 134 29th Street. You can come upstairs to Simple Studios and you'll find us having a meeting. Or you can come on the 22nd of February. We're going to have a big get-together and on which we'll have artists, writers, celebrity guests, and you can come and join us, and it's 21 only. and pay $10 and drink a lot of free Brooklyn Brewery beer and have a great time at what we call Phrases to Pages.
So is that also like the, the world's smallest convention in the world's
Oh, you heard about that? Yeah, the world's smallest convention in the world's smallest comic book store. Yeah, my managing editor, Patrick Riley, really is tied in deep with Carmine Street Comics, which you can find on Carmine Street in Manhattan.
That's good thing they call it Carmine Street Comics.
Right, they're very original in their naming. But, you know, they're a great bunch of guys, Mike Novo and John Gorger, who own the store. And we put together, Pat put together this thing called ProntoCon. So ProntoCon was Pronto Comics, Dennis Knight, one of our writers who does this great series called Cross, Tom Gambino, another one of our artists who does great sketches, Mike Noble, the owner of the store, Sean Von Gorman, that if you know anything about like New York City independent comic books, Sean Von Gorman's the guy who goes around doing escape acts and stuff to sell his book, Secret Adventures of Houdini. And our big celebrity guest was Chris Caruso, who does G-Man and a bunch of other things. And our art director, Jan the Janimal, was doing some really cute drawings up on the stage, too. So, yeah, the world's smallest convention and the world's smallest store. I mean, we packed the store out, which means we had, 10 people in the store at one time, but we still packed it out. It was a lot of fun.
The question we like to ask all the people in comics is, why are you in comics?
Well, I'm a masochist, you see. Yeah, there you go. There's no money in it, but... I was 10 years old and reading The Death of Superman and kept reading ever since, and it was just the thing you wanted to do. That as a kid, I always wanted to do it. I originally wanted to be an anchor, and, you get sucked in. It's its own sort of very positive drug in its own way. You know, it's escapism with all the positivity of it, and none of the downsides, And no one ever got hung over reading a comic book.
That's an interesting tagline. No one ever got hung over reading a comic book.
Yeah,
it's the best response we've got yet.
Okay.
It's weird that you started reading comics just on the cusp of the start of the decline of the comic books industry, because that's what a lot of people say, that The Death of Superman was pretty much the top that it goes, and you just went all the way down.
It's interesting tying things together. We on the monthly meeting, we almost always have a celebrity guest, and we do our own podcast at that meeting as well. And before we did the podcast, we still had celebrity guests, and one of them was Bob Rozakis, who was like the production coordinator at DC at the time. And he gave a great PowerPoint presentation to the group about comic books and the history of comic books, and then he talked about The Death of Superman. His exact words were, "And then Superman died, but it's okay, he got better." And he said, if you own one of those classic comics that was, sealed in, you can break the seal, it's fine. The only way they're going to be worth anything, because we sold like a million of them, is if you buy 999,999 and burn them. That's the only way they're worth anything now. yeah.
They were nice, though. They came with that little armband and...
Yeah, I mean, it was a whole thing in the Hollywood cover, but I remember being a kid and going...
I never opened mine.
I still have it. It's not open. I don't know. I'm hoping against hope that everyone heard that and is going to go burn them now, thinking they're worth nothing.
I opened mine. I couldn't help it.
You're fine. Don't worry about it.
I opened mine, and I opened the one for my uncle.
Needless to say, I didn't go through college paying it off with my comic book collection, unfortunately. I recently tried to sell a bulk of it, and... guy comes to my house, looks him over, and goes, because I collected from the late 90s to up until the 2000s, when it's worthless, honestly. And he's like, "I'm going to insult you. I'm going to give you 5 cents a book." And I'm like, "Never mind. Thank you." A good friend of mine who was just on our podcast, Ken Knutson, who does...
You know Ken.
Yeah, you know Ken? Okay,
yeah.
Ken's a great guy. My Monkey's Name is Jennifer. Hilarious book. He made me a really good suggestion, which will be on the podcast, to donate him. Donate them to a children's hospital.
Oh.
So I'm thinking I'll take at least one or two large boxes and do that, as soon as the weather's good enough that I can don't feel like I'm going to
get them there without having them soaked to the bone.
Exactly. I don't want to donate sock and comic books to kids with leukemia. I mean, that's terrible,
Yeah, you don't get into heaven for that.
No. In fact, I might spend an extra year or two in purgatory for that.
Yeah, exactly.
You just painted a picture in my head. That you're here, kids. Here's some kind. But they're saggy. Enjoy them.
See ya. Big wink.
Don't look a gift horse.
Yeah, right? Well, do you want the comics or not, kid? Yeah, so.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
So how did Pronto Comics start? Where did the name come from? Where did the idea, hey, let's all get together and start this?
Well, the idea of let's all get together came from the original group that was more or less all involved in Andy Schmidt's classes. And he has this comic book school classes. I can't remember the exact name of them now. But it was back when they were real live classes. So they all got together and they wanted to make this anthology. I got involved through Buddy Scalera's Creative Connections. And if you ever go to...
Buddy.
Yeah, Buddy. He's a great guy. If you ever go to...
Worked at Wizard with him.
Oh, yeah. And he's hilarious. But if you ever go to Comic-Con, he has Creative Connections, which is like speed dating for creators. And I met this guy, Kelly's there. And I just kept on top of him, like asking, like, hey, you got anything you want me to ink? So I got involved that way. And then basically what happened is once we put out a couple more books, like more organization, like I said, needed to happen. And he suggested that I become the, like, chairman of the board of the thing. And basically I just took everything over and made it more of a corporate mentality of getting books on time, improving quality. And we've gone through, like, several iterations of the company. And now we have an extremely effective team, like Patrick Riley, who I mentioned, who would love to have come today, but he's currently doing a signing at the Spider's Web in Westchester. And my associate editor, Leah Hansen, she's fantastic. Our new art director, The Janimal, and my event coordinator, David Rondinelli.
So the name Pronto Comics, where did that come from?
Where did Pronto Comics come from? We used to meet at Pronto Pizza on 41st Street. I wish I had a really great name for that. Like, just because we want our comics coming out all the time. No, it was just we were there, we were eating pizza, and
the pizza guys aren't going to sue you for using that.
Maybe now. I mean, the name Pronto. I mean, the Italian language could sue us, I guess. You know, but that's where it came from. It was we were eating pizza, and we're like, well, why don't we just call? Because originally it was called the Breaking In Network, and then someone's just like, why don't we just call it Pronto Comics? And I think
Breaking In Network.
See, Pronto Comics works so much better.
Yeah.
And one of the original members, I believe his name's Ken Frederick, he came up with a logo that, if you're watching it on the webcam, you can see it, the red and the black and the P with
clock.
With a clock, you know, and it makes sense, and we're spreading it all over. Yeah.
So where do you see Pronto Comics going in the future? You've been in this for 5 years, you said?
It'll be 5 years in May, yeah.
So what's going to happen 5 years from now?
Well, I would love to have, like, a real official offices as opposed to working out of Carmine Street Comics and having stuff shipped to my house.
Right, Carmine Street Comics and now have just been insulting.
Well, no, they're wonderful.
They're not good enough for us.
There's just no space. That's the big thing. I'd love us to have, like, official offices and getting, like, real salaries. My true dream is that we are, you know, like, how Saturday Night Live and Second City were the gateway for a lot of great talent. I'd like for us to be that for comics. So I would love for, like, DC and Marvel to always be looking to us for the next bigger, right. You know, the people. This is where you come to hone your craft. This is where you come to work and do those 10,000 words that are terrible. And you know, like, but you can see steady progress. You can see things are getting better by reading Pronto Comics. You can follow up-and-coming creators. And then, you know, Marvel or DC, they come along and hopefully take them and make them into big, big stars. That's what I would love to see happen.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Look at that. See, a guy who's not interested in having a movie career out of his property. He wants to help others.
Well,
you wouldn't turn it down.
I wouldn't turn it. Listen, anyone wants to give me $1 million to take one of our Pronto Comics and make it into a movie, I'm happy to do it.
Only a million.
Yeah, listen, I'm modest. I'm a modest man. Like, we have a great comic book coming out. It'll come out to Phrases to Pages on the 22nd. It's called Nap Boy, done by one of our longtime writers. And it's going to be fantastic. That could probably be a movie, but you'd have to get in touch with the writer because we don't own anyone's content.
Publish it. Is that a conscious decision to just publish other creator-owned projects?
Yes, very much so. Because that's, like, the thing that every creator fears, that they're going to come and it'll suddenly be, like, a big hit and we'll own it and they'll get nothing. They don't want, basically, like, to happen to the creators of Superman to happen to them. So we immediately make them sign a contract in which it states, you own your content. However, if there's a suit, it's your fault. Like, we're just publishing it.
Right.
It's your fault if you get sued. and you're on your own.
That's a good double.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, listen, we're not going to steal it, but remember, it's all yours. It's like putting the impetus on. It's your content, so therefore, there you go.
So another question we love asking all guests here mm-hmm. is, what advice can you give to other people who are starting, who are interested in comics?
Oh, man.
And that's the answer quit. I usually get.
Yeah, well,
my advice is to quit.
Don't do it for money, number one, because there really isn't any money in it initially. Eventually, of course, there's money. If there wasn't money in it, there wouldn't be a comic book industry to begin with at all. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. Seek out Pronto Comics, because trying to like reinvent the wheel that we've already created, you could do it. It's just going to take a lot of time and energy. We also have a very come-as-you-want sort of mentality, in terms of, like, if you don't come for 3 months, it's not a problem. If you're doing a book, just stay in touch with your editor. That's, you know, a big thing. The other thing is, be nice. Be nice to everyone that you can be nice to. Get your work in and on time as much as possible. And the third thing that, you know, you either have it or you don't, it's talent. The great thing about talent is, if you have only a little bit of it, you can work on it. If you don't have it at all, you can still work on it. If you have too much of it, that's where being nice comes in. Because if you have a great amount of talent, but you're not nice, people will put up with you for only so long.
Oh,
yeah. True.
Yeah. So it's really just be nice and be as active as possible.
And if people want to get in contact with Pronto Comics?
There's like so many different ways. You can
list them all.
I will happily list them all. You can email me personally, like you did, eic@prontocomics.com, and I personally handle any and all finished book submissions. So you've written the book, it's been drawn, it's been colored, it's been lettered, and you want us to print it, send it to me. If you have a script that you want looked at, I suggest you send it to pj.riley@prontocomics.com. He's our managing editor. He goes through all the scripts. If you want to blog for us, you can email Leah Hansen. She runs our blog, associate editor@prontocomics.com. If you're an artist, you can email the Janimal, art director@prontocomics.com. Essentially, go to prontocomics.com is what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. If you want to check out all of our books, again, prontocomics.com. If you want like daily updates of what we're doing, facebook.com/prontocomics. You can follow us on Twitter @prontocomics. You can follow me on Twitter @prontoeic.
They can follow you personally.
You can follow me personally. I don't tweet like all the time. I don't live on Twitter, but like I'm always trying to pass on something from like CB Cebulski or Jimmy Palmiotti. That's a good breaking in tip. Or like when I'm going to come and do a radio thing, I'll announce it to ad nauseum. And sometimes I'll like chat with like CB every once in a while or something like that, you know, here or there. That was like the greatest moment of my life, by the way, when I tweeted towards CB Cebulski and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" I was like, "Excuse me, I'm just going to have a brief heart attack in the corner."
You know. And you said on the 22nd something?
Yeah, the biggest thing I can tell you now, if you really want to get involved with Pronto Comics, and we hope you do, if you're 21 and over... Now, we'll work with anyone who's 18 and up, but for this particular event, 21 and over, because there's alcohol involved. $10 out the door, room 507 at 151 West 26th Street, called Chelsea Studios, I believe, from 7:30 to 10:30. We're having what's called Phrases to Pages. And there's a lot of great like drink and draws and stuff in the city, but this is the only competition that I know of that also involves the writer. So if you're a writer or an artist, you're welcome to come. And basically what happens is we give you 2 45-minute rounds of a phrase. And what you have to do is, with that phrase, work with your writer or artist to come up with a full comic book page in 45 minutes. And the very first one we did, we had three great judges. We had Simon Fraser, Felix Serrano, and Ken. And Simon, that was when we did it with like 3 20-minute rounds, and we had to extend it because it was just too hard. And Simon said on an interview with the Comics Archive, it's a very difficult challenge to do. And since then, we've had Larry Hama, we've had George O'Connor, who does the Olympians. We've had numerous other guests. We recently just had Alex Simmons, who is a great, great writer. Anyway, this particular time, we have Chris Caruso, we have Chris Sotomayor, who is like the colorist for Marvel, and Jake Shabbat, who's done like every kid's property known to man. And they're all wonderful guys, and they'll look your work over, and you can submit it, and the top four of each phrase will get published.
Wow.
Yeah, so like if you look on the webcam, I have a copy of Phrases to Pages 3. And, you know, we'll personally put it in the hands of as many professionals as we can when we get to Comic-Cons and stuff. So that, you know, and I'll tell them it's not a submission, it's just something that people could do in 45 minutes. Take a look.
Mm. So and you said you had a podcast.
We have a podcast. It is, you can find it again on the website. We call it ProntoCast. It's on Apple and it's on SoundCloud. The best and easiest way is, again, go to the website, prontocomics.com, and you can check it out. And we had Alex Simmons. We'll have Ken Knutson on soon. We've had Jamal Igel. We've had Chris Batista. We've had some really cool guys and great names and stuff.
So what have you learned most about comics during your podcast? Because we learned a lot of stuff here, but usually we kind of see themes, certain themes that kind of go through. What themes did you learn?
You know, if you're a writer, don't shirk your deadline. That's a big thing. Always be writing. If you're an artist, again, don't shirk the deadline. That's the biggest thing I can tell anyone. Don't shirk the deadline. Be open. Talk to your editor a lot. That's a big thing. You know, find the rhythm that works for you in terms of when to work. A lot of people have that problem. They're like trying to force it. Instead, you got to find how it works. Ken, again, came up with a really good point. He's pardon me. He often talks to Walt Simonson. They're very good friends, and he's his mentor. And Walt told him, so long as he does something involving art every day, he thinks that day has been productive. So if whether it's filing away reference images or really working on a page or something, but anything involving art, he says, is a good day. So I would say that is a good theme. Yeah, and just listening to the people's stories, a creative life, and how that unfolds. Like, follow your creativities; it will get you somewhere. You know, right? You know, I followed mine, and I'm currently on the radio.
Hooray!
But you know, that's pretty good, I think.
I would agree with that.
We agree.
Yeah, thank you.
So we have less than 5 minutes to go, so we're going to do some final thoughts. Hassan, do you have any questions or final thoughts?
No, I think it all sounds fantastic. I think probably the most positive, like, you know, self-starting enterprise that we've had, you know, as pertains to helping others out, like, especially oriented to help others out. So that's fantastic. So keep up the good work and good luck.
Well, thank you.
I have to say that they were so generous, they even brought us all T-shirts. So, Hassan, you would have had a T-shirt if you didn't be so sick.
I can still have a T-shirt.
No, they're all mine
for me.
No, they're all mine.
Mark gets them all.
They're all mine.
All right.
They're all mine.
See, that's how you feel. That's why I don't brave the wilderness.
Well, I don't need that Pandora virus, so I thank you for not coming. That's appreciated.
So, do you have any final thoughts, Dominic?
You know, just stick with it if you want to be a comic book person. If you have questions, comments, anything that you want to know more about, always feel free to email me. Again, EIC@ProntoComics.com, and I'll steer you in the right direction in terms of our company. I just would also like to give a quick shout out to the Blick store on Bond Street. They're supplying 150 free sketchbooks for Phrases to Pages. So I wanted to thank Melody on air for doing that. You know, we've been talking a lot over like a year to try and get her store to be able to give us something, and she finally was able to. We've had Copic, we've had Blue Line Pro, we've had Carmine Street Comics all be sponsors of Phrases to Pages, but right now Blick is our current sponsor, and I'm very proud of it.
I have to say that throughout the years we've talked to many people, and like Hassan said, you were one of the first like positive getting everything together. I mean, we've talked to the Comic Arts Guild, which we're still in contact with. They're great guys.
Yeah.
But this seems to be like the next step that you actually, you know, and the Comic Arts Guild, they do publish, but you seem to be more intertwined with the base. So it's actually really cool.
I have to, you know, I mean, I don't want to take all the credit, but it's certainly a lot of my vision is to make it a, you know, the nonprofit and helping people get in. You know, that's just how I think. I'm not a sanctimonious person. This is how I think. But I have to give a lot of credit to Patrick. He's like, in many ways, he's my business partner in things in terms of creative, and he keeps a pretty tight ship. And once he became managing editor, we were able to put out a lot more books. So he's been very good in that respect, and I'm handling a lot of the business and again, my team is fantastic. I can't thank them enough. They're all on their stuff. And I think that's the difference between us and, say, CAG. Because I got involved with CAG very briefly before Pronto. And they're all nice guys.
Yeah,
and I'm not trying to disparage them.
They are great guys.
But they're not very organized.
Sometimes they are. I have to say that they've hit it. You know, when they're on. And we've had them on the show. They seem well done. But the Pronto comics seems, it just... The next step.
Because I know, like, guys from CAG who left CAG, too. So, like, Mark Maz is, you know...
We know Mark Maz,
And Bob Sidaro, who writes for us. He has a book coming out called Perceptions. And he's done two other books with us. One is a really great book that every kid in school should read called First in Flight. And it's about the first person to really fly. And it wasn't the Wright brothers. So you can get that on our website, too. And we're going to be doing EternalCon. At the Cradle of Aviation, June 14th and 15th, and he'll be there, and we'll have copies of it. So you guys should come to Eternal Con.
That'd be cool. We can make it if you're not sick or dying.
Yeah.
But Hassan, I'm talking to you.
Yes, I understood.
Okay. Once again, thank you very much. That is prontocomics.com. Make sure you guys check it out. And that about does it for this week on It Came From Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of this show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and you can listen to the archives, which will be up in a day or so. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.